Welcome to Web and Beyond Live for May 1st, 2023. Hi, everybody. I am Ray Sidney Smith. I am the president of W3 Consulting and managing director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain name registration services, and other web-related services, primarily for small business. Web and Beyond Live, of course, is our weekly show about topical and timely small business digital marketing and related tips. So whether you're watching live here or the replay or listening to the podcast, feel free to ask questions and welcome to the show. As you know, we have been off for a while. I've been in the midst of doing lots of other projects, including going back to school and all kinds of other fun things. But I'm back for Web and Beyond Live, and I'm really excited to be able to spend this time with you each. You know, we're going to spend 20 to 30 minutes, hopefully in the weeks in which I have a lot of news. It'll take a little bit longer, but I'll try to be as brief and quick as I normally am. You know, I'm a speed talker, so I try to get us through these material pieces each week. So this week, what we're going to do is we're going to cover first and foremost the minor news that I just picked up along the way. There's some minor items I wanted to pick up and discuss with you. But the primary piece is I wanted to talk about a report that I just picked up, which is a state of content report that I believe Binder put out. And so Binder put out the State of Content Report 2023. It's their inaugural report. And it has some key insights that I think I want to just discuss with you all so that you're aware of the state of content, right? What does content marketing look like today in 2023? And I think this report provides some really good insights, at least as a buffer against my tendency to be a bit skeptical about some of these things. First and foremost, I just wanted to cover, as I said, a couple of minor items, and I've not been using this tool in a while, so I'm gonna try and make all of this work here. And so here, let's go ahead and find my tabs. Where did I have my tabs for all of these things open? Well, I'm just going to start because I don't know where that tab went. Either way, the first thing is that Bloomberg is reporting that Apple is planning the launch of an augmented reality, virtual reality headset that's supposed to feature sports, gaming, iPad apps, and workouts. And so this is something that has been going back and forth as to, so I still wouldn't count it as happening. They still have time. WWDC, or the Worldwide Developer Conference for Apple, is happening on June 5th this year. And so there's still time for Apple to pull the plug on whether or not they're going to put out this AR, VR headset. But if they do, it will be a huge step in the direction for more and more people to start adopting to this technology. So what this means is that you'll have a headset or some other device that connects to glasses or something like that. Right now we have basically our mobile phones is the primary way in which we see augmented reality. And that's where, in essence, digital data is superimposed in the physical space for you. So the camera's on, you're looking at physical space, but it's basically projecting onto that physical space on the camera screen, some digital artifact. And that could be a persona, an animal, you name it, any number of things. You could place products in that space. You can see a product physically in the space around you. You can turn the camera on yourself and see clothing or makeup or other kinds of things on you. Some of you probably use this every day when you use Zoom. You don't know it, but Zoom kind of fixes up and does some color touching to your face and whatnot. You can actually turn on some more aggressive features that actually apply makeup and all kinds of things for you as you go into meetings. And so that's happening already in the augmented reality space. The virtual reality space is, of course, a two-dimensional screen representing a three-dimensional space. And then VR headsets give you that additional layer where you can now look around in a three-dimensional space virtually. This technology is going to fundamentally change the way in which we experience the World Wide Web and our access to the internet in many ways. I just don't think it's today. I think that we're many, many years off. And by many, many, I mean we're probably 3 to 5 years off of something really fundamentally changing the field. Now, again, if Apple gets in the game here and they launch this AR VR headset, then I think the ball starts rolling very, very quickly. I think if they don't, they're reading the writing on the wall, and they've decided to hold back a bit. Now, this relates to a story from a recent report from Artillery Intelligence, where they were talking about the fact that we've had this kind of rise in the use of AR devices. And so augmented reality, of course, is starting to ramp up. That's mostly because it's baked into Snapchat and it's baked into Google App, and many other applications are taking this, you know, like just basically developing it directly into the software that they already have on the phones. So I think that that's pretty much why we're seeing this uptick in usage. I don't see virtual reality having that same, dramatic incline, purely because you have to put something on your face. You have to cover your face in order to utilize it. There are very limited circumstances where you can do that. And it's not like you can put on a VR headset and hop behind the wheel of a car and go drive somewhere. You have to actually be stationary or be fixed in a space where you can't hurt yourself or harm yourself. Or in the gaming circumstance, you know, kids put on their, not just kids, games are for everybody, but you know, you want to make sure that everyone is safe when they put those headsets on, and now they are basically brought into a virtual world, but they're still standing in the physical space or sitting in the physical space, so they need to be conscious of, you know, they can't just walk around and walk into walls and so on and so forth. There's a lot that needs to be still solved in the VR space that I think the AR space can currently do, especially when it comes to marketing and managing your business, right? You can do product demos virtually. You can provide customer support. You can do all kinds of really interesting promotional things with augmented reality that I don't think is as limited as is with the virtual reality right now. So just kind of keep that in mind, that that's kind of what we're coming up against generally. Now, that takes us forward to the metaverse. As you probably know, Facebook changed their name to Meta last year, and now they are Meta, as in the metaverse, and the metaverse is supposed to be this new layer to experience in terms of virtual platforms. Of course, I think that Meta is a little early to the game, and maybe that's good for them, maybe that's not, but Deloitte recently put out their insights report. And they're expecting that the metaverse will be an $80 billion market by 2024. So I just wanted to let you all know that this is happening, whether we really understand it or not. Think of it as being a combination of virtual reality headsets like Meta's Oculus Rift. Other types of VR headsets are out there on the market. Some artificial intelligence powered AR shopping experiences. And this is kind of the idea, again, like I said before, where you can superimpose clothing on you or put cosmetics on you in a camera environment so that you can see whether or not you would like a particular product or not. You can try on different apparel. You can try on different things. You can say, go to the dentist and they'll show you what your teeth would look like with different kinds of processes and procedures done on you. These are the kinds of things where there's a real true use case and a potential for it to become very powerful in the coming years. So I see that piece. I don't particularly grok the number. $80 billion market doesn't sound to me like that much considering. It needs to be a much more robust market for this to really take off. Again, this is highly dependent upon the most cash-rich company in the country, not necessarily the world, but it may be the world, which is Apple. They have the ability to really put this on the world stage. And if they do, then we'll see some very interesting things happen. I think the biggest and the Tech Trends report that Deloitte puts out does touch on this, which is sports. I think the sports arena is where this could really be very, very powerful. And not just the live sports concept, you know, watching a football or soccer game, watching a football, American football, or a football game, or for everybody else in the world, a soccer game, or a soccer game for everybody in the world that's football. But, you know, like rugby, you name all of the various outdoor and indoor sports where there are team-based players. For the audience, especially the premium and luxury market that want to be really right there in the action, I can see how VR headsets would actually be a really great opportunity for them, where they can put on a headset and really be in there and among the players. So I can see that as being something very interesting. I don't know that every individual will want to do that, but maybe that will be something that we see back into maybe a theater environment where people can come, you know, sit in a theater environment, have some beverages and snacks with their friends, put on a VR headset and enjoy being immersed in an experience. So that might be something for business owners to think about in terms of infrastructure, being able to do that, especially small theaters that are probably hurting a bit, both post-pandemic, but also from the decline in movie watchers, because those people are just staying at home and watching those things on their small screens, you know, because their small screens are now pretty big, you know, 65, 75 inch screens in their living rooms. They just don't need to go out to a theater necessarily to gain that cinematic experience. And so I see that piece, but there's also this other element that I think a lot of people miss, and that is the esports world, where you have now a lot of folks who are using Twitch and other platforms, and they're playing digital games, you know, on-screen games together in real time, and they're sharing that content and being able to bring that into a more fluid virtual experience, I think is a pretty interesting development there. And I think something that a lot of brands have an opportunity to sponsor. So think about it from the perspective that those folks are just like any other influencer. And so, like, you know, we've got a Dale Earnhardt, driving a NASCAR that has tons of logos on it. Well, same kind of thing applies. These folks who are playing in esports, they can be sponsored by you, especially if they're playing in a smaller environment with a smaller group of people, especially if it's local and you want to be able to sponsor a local influencer and his audience, or, you know, his or their audience is local. You can go ahead and find those folks and then sponsor them to be able to show your brand, and it can show messaging. It can potentially be clickable links on screen. There's lots of opportunity there, I think, for us to utilize VR without us having to be the progenitors of the content. So just kind of consider those pieces, that this is an opportunity for us to potentially go out there and sponsor folks who are doing this kind of content in VR and AR, and giving ourselves some advertising boost, you know, some promotional boost from doing so. So just kind of keep that in mind. Okay. So I wanted to close out with just a brief discussion on the state of the content, the state of content report that Bynder put out. And they have a really wonderful snapshot summary that is, I think, really helpful for us all to kind of just think about as we make our way through. And I'm gonna try and share this slide one more time and see if I can get it to work. Hopefully you are all now seeing it. And so the idea here is that the State of Content Report is a survey of 1,200 plus marketing and creative professionals by Bynder, and they try to get as good a cross-section from them. They came up with four fundamental summary points, and those summary points I think are worth reading and understanding. So I'm quoting here. It says, in 2023, content retains its leading position in the world of marketing. CMOs recognize the importance of investing in content creation, management, and distribution to face the challenges of this year's down economy and position their organizations for success in the years to come, end quote. So here we are. Once again, you know, like we can argue over whether or not we're in a down economy or not. I think that we are in an inconsistent economy where we have ups and downs in different sectors. And the general consensus is that people are still buying, right? Jobs are still being created. And yet we are still having supply chain issues. We're still having labor force issues. And I think that's a mismatching issue. We have people who want to work. We have jobs that are out there and necessary to be filled, but we don't have the right matching of those people to the jobs. And I think that's a workforce development issue. That's an education issue. That's a number of different issues. Also a location issue. You know, that's just because we had the pandemic and a lot of people went remote, that doesn't mean everyone can be, or everyone who's hiring wants people to be remote. So there's a mismatching problem, you know, square peg, round hole kind of problem that's happening in the economy. And I think that's the major kind of logjam when it comes to some of those issues related to what we're calling a down economy. Then, but I think the point is well taken, though, that chief marketing officers are really understanding that content is really king and continues to be, important for the long-term viability of their business. Second, they take note that companies are struggling with a number of different things, but prioritizing digital transformation efforts and investing in an integrated digital ecosystem, end quote. That is a very, very important piece to them being able to compete in the market today, being resilient and responsive to the changes of the market, and of course, therefore, being able to match or beat competition. So as SMEs, as small business owners, we have to recognize the fact that if we're not doing this digital transformation along with these larger organizations, we're going to be left behind or we're going to be put out of business. We really need to make sure that we are taking this to heart and doing the digital transformation efforts that are necessary on our level with the technology that we have at our hands. And we have a lot of technology at our disposal now. We are capable of doing as much or even better because of our flexibility and dynamism, because we are smaller in many ways. Organizations, a large organization is kind of like, it's like steering a large ship. You got to kind of move very incrementally. As SMEs, as small business owners, we're able to actually move a little bit faster than that and turn much more quickly. So do that. Now's the time to do it. Start thinking about how are you using technology in your world? And I think of it not just from a marketing perspective, but the productivity underpinning all of it. How can we really do that faster and better? We'll get back to that on number four. Number three, though, was investments in technology, quoting here again, investments in technology that streamline the creation and distribution of personalized content experiences, end quote. And they call this critical. And I think that it's really important. Again, personalization, as I've talked about in the past, is not, hi, Ray, how's your day going? How's your mom and blah, 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 right? Like, that's nice and that's great if it can do it. But personalization is much more about being able to collect data upfront from people as they're willing to give it, as simple as a first name and an email address or something like that, or a phone number. But on the flip side of that, making sure that you are personalizing in the sense that you are creating content that once someone interacts with your website, with your mobile application, with your social media, what have you, you're utilizing that data to be able to present to them a more personalized experience. So for example, if you have a website and someone clicks on a page that says, I'm a teacher, right? You're no longer going to show them information about being a student or being a school administrator or being a teacher, right? You're going to show them more information about being a parent of a child who may be in school and talking to them on that level. Every time they click into more content, it should be more personalized to the individual because they're self-selecting down that rabbit hole, so to speak. They're choosing that path. And so personalization can be layered both from a technological perspective, but also the way in which you structure the content that's displayed in front of people. And so often than not, we think of it as being, oh, we don't have this data about people. How are we going to do this technologically? And it's actually usually very much more simple. We just want to stay clear with the individual that once they self-select into a branch of our website, of interacting with our social media, of interacting with our whatnot, you are going to now personalize from there, right? You can put in tools like ManyChat or otherwise, so that when someone starts asking you questions on social media or through your online website chat, now you can customize the content based on how they're giving responses. You're just writing responses that are a little bit more tailored to that individual so that they know that you know their plight, you know their problem, you know their felt need or want, and you're capable of helping them achieve that. Okay. And then last but not least is this repurposing content as an effective strategy. Now, again, I've talked about this ad nauseum, but I'm going to cover it again because I think it's so, so important, which is to think through the process of how you create content. And creating content is a vehicle for you to be able to not spend your time completely and always creating content, right? It's, content marketing is just one aspect of your business. And as this report purports, it is very important, right? It's a very, very critical piece of your overarching promotional strategy within your business. So marketing requires content, but it shouldn't require all of your time. So you need to be able to say, what's the 20% I can put in to produce 80% of the values? And I kind of reverse Pareto principle concept, right? And so we want to be able to use this concept effectively. And that usually means creating For me, I usually recommend to everyone create once per week, one piece of anchor content, whether it be a blog, podcast, video, you name it. And from there, generate all of the other content you're going to place out there on social media, newsletter, and so on and so forth, right? That one anchor piece of content can then source out from it all kinds of other things. So if you created a blog post, you could pull quotations from it and use those as tweets. Pull quotations from it and use those as Facebook posts. You can generate images that are templates in essence. You're just placing this content into the templates each week so that people can see that this content is out there. And of course, all of the posting that you do is going to drive people back to that blog post that you generated at the beginning, or podcast or video, you name it, right? But you're really working on fundamentally one piece of content and then sharing that piece of content out as a link to this other quoted items. I call them quotables. You can call them whatever you want, but quotables, audiograms, videograms, these are basically small multimedia and text-based content that you can then go out there and share about the primary content you've created. Now, again, you're creating value in this one piece of content, but you're repurposing that content across the board in lots of ways. You can place, if it's a blog post, you can copy and paste the whole thing and put it into a newsletter, right? And send it out via a newsletter. You can take that audio file and transcribe it and then clean it up so it turns into a blog post or a newsletter. You can do a lot with a little. And once you get all of the machinations, all the workflow components organized, you can then go ahead and delegate that to someone who can go ahead and every week, just turnkey it into 7, 8, 9, 12, you name it, how many pieces of content you need to be able to get out to the world on a regular basis. So just keep that in mind as you're kind of making your way through your next few months, is that, you know, as the State of Content Report is noting here, you really need to be able to repurpose content. It's not good for you to be able to keep thinking about how you're going to produce at scale as much content as social profiles need, as social networks need, in terms of being able to get in front of and keep folks' attention related to your product or service. The other piece that I always talk about and I think is important to repeat here is repurposing content is also the concept of, once you've created those quotables, you know, those other kinds of multimedia pieces, maybe you've created a nice little video that, you know, pulls out some small piece of a blog post that you wrote, right? And it just covers that information. Well, maybe it covers it on a day that's like, you know, one of these retail holidays. Repurpose that content on those days, because there's no reason for you to recreate content specifically for those days. You could just repurpose it on those days. And I think that could be really useful as well. So just keep that in mind as you are going throughout your world of thinking, where can you use content that you've already created and just reimagining it as either images, audio, video, or otherwise. And we have tons of tools out there now that can convert those pieces into whatever you'd like. I use Canva all the time for that kind of stuff. I did miss that it is May 1st, and so therefore it is National Small Business Month, and so happy National Small Business Month. Tomorrow begins which is May 2nd, tomorrow begins the Small Business Week Virtual Summit, and that's hosted by the SBA. So if you go to sba.gov, you can find all the information regarding the National Small Business Week Virtual Summit. I think it runs tomorrow and then on to Wednesday the 3rd. So go ahead and check it out, see what resources they have to provide. Also on May 4th is World Password Week. World Password Week is an opportunity for you to just think about maybe using a password manager or updating your passwords on your major accounts, like your bank accounts and otherwise, so that you can just stay a little bit more protected from hackers, cyber criminals, you name it, or otherwise. I did also want to note that we are going to be resuming our Web and Beyond webinars soon. So those are twice a month where I cover a topic in a little bit more depth and we go through that particular topic on a strategic level. And I'm also going to be starting our Web and Beyond workshops, which is our seminars and workshops. So they're half day and full day seminars and workshops on a wide variety of topics like blogging and podcasting and social media and Instagram, you name it. And we're going to do those in person and virtual, see how they see how they go. So we will be putting those onto the website at w3cinc.com/events in the coming weeks. So you can check those out and we hope to see you there. And otherwise, I think that brings us to the end of our time together for Web and Beyond Live. If you've enjoyed the live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That really helps us make new small business friends. And so thank you for doing that. If you have a question, comment, what have you, go ahead and leave those there in the comment section under the video. You can, of course, find us on social and ask us your questions via private message on those social profiles where we post. And otherwise, you can join me most Mondays here at 11 a.m. Eastern, unless I otherwise note it on the social channels. And so that way you can go ahead and find us. Thank you so much for spending this time with us for Web and Beyond Live. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing your small business.